Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, this is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome to St. Petersburg. We did our first live show from this fine city today, and I think it went all right, don't you?
Yeah, very good fun. I really enjoyed it. We had a chat about our experiences so far, how we're finding everything, and of course, the train journey.
Yeah. We came from Moscow to St. Petersburg overnight on a train, and you'll hear how that all unfolded. It was pretty eventful.
Over the years, we've had a lot of chats with Alexei Yaroshev from Russia Today.
Yaroshevsky. You'll never forget him, will you?
That's why I can't remember his name.
You took the ski off, didn't you?
Well, you know, never mind. And it was really good to meet him. He came down to the pub, so we had a chat with him about how the tournament's going so far.
Tinsel the Turkey predicted the England result.
He's so knowledgeable, Tinsel.
Really,
isn't he?
Knows
tremendous.
His stuff. Yeah. Really good. So, well, I hope you all enjoy it.
Minutes past 10. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Paul. And what a World Cup it's been so far.
It's been great. No nil-nils. That's always a good sign.
Absolutely.
Although,
tremendous.
I do remember in 1990, I hope this is not an omen, the Italian 90 World Cup, everybody was raving about it. And then England played Ireland in an absolute dog of a game, a one-all draw in the pouring rain. And then we thought, oh, trust England to kill it. But I'm sure it won't happen tonight. I'm feeling very positive.
Yes, but we always do the same thing, though, the English. We're brilliant, aren't we? With no expectations. Just do your best. That's how we were. We've gone from, we're going to win it, and we'll, bless you, and will Harry Kane get the golden boot?
That's right.
We've sort of ramped it up again, which I think is a mistake, because we've seen how difficult games are in this World Cup, so we'll see anyway. But plenty of that later.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back at our holiday.
Well, you call it that, Andy. I don't.
I do. And I've decided if they really want to boost the tourist industry and open up the world, they need to drop that Cyrillic alphabet.
You've decided, so basically, you know, hundreds of thousands of years of tradition should go so you can read metro signs.
Basically, yes.
Yeah.
I'd say that's
We're getting
true.
There, aren't we? We're kind of learning what the letters mean.
Yeah, oh, I'm not. You are.
Oh, we just have to put a little bit of time in. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't say... we've had an interesting incident with our producer yesterday. The word for thank you is basically the only word we can, any of us can say here, is spasiba. So whenever you say it, most of us say it, and they can tell, you know, you sound English.
If they speak English, they'll start speaking to you.
But our producer thanked somebody at the accreditation centre yesterday and said, spasiba. He must have said it in such a way they thought, brethren, because they went into fluent Russian. So he has mastered one word to such an extent he says it like a native, which is a good sign, I think.
But he was on good form yesterday in the Fan Fest, which, let's face it, is an utterly grim experience.
Well, it's not.
It's horrendous.
It's the way you like watching football with a book on your lap, in the dark, in your underpants, just sitting there concentrating on the game. Not everybody consumes football like that. Some people like to have a beer and enjoy it with other people.
No,
they're
wrong.
It says a lot about the kind of antisocial person you are, really.
No, he's like me. He said to me at one point, I hate the whole human race.
Blimey.
I agree with him.
He was a bit tired after the train journey, but that's pushing it a bit, isn't it?
You know, it's grim. It's too loud. It's badly dressed people standing in front of you. It's Z-list DJ shouting, let's make some noise, let's do the Mexican wave. No, let's not bother, really, for goodness sake. And this woman kept coming up to John with a sponge hand and giving him the high five.
She was wearing one, obviously. It wasn't a sort of disability. That would be terrible every time you had a shower. One arm would get longer than the other, wouldn't it? Yeah. That's a new one for Stan Lee, if he's listening. Yeah. Sponge hand woman.
And after about the fourth time, John said to me, I'm just not doing that anymore. I'm really not. And they kept trying to do it.
You left her hanging, John. You don't do that. You're a bad influence on him.
Not really.
I just think he plays into your curmudgeonly ways. I'm not sure that's helping.
No. David, our executive football editor, says that we're two peas in the pod. I think that's fairly true.
That's right.
And
it's like Hinge and Bracket.
And actually, it was funny. We went to the Zenit Club shop yesterday.
We did, yeah.
And David came over with a postcard of Branislav Ivanovic. He knew I'd be quite keen on it. And
you thought it was a freebie, didn't
I
you?
I did. I went to put it in John's bag without realizing.
We almost found out what happens if you shoplift in Russia and you're an England fan. We did get some funny looks. We're broadcasting from the pub. And it doesn't open till 12, but they were letting us in at 11 our time, but obviously just over an hour ago. But we were standing outside the pub at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock your time, and they thought, typical England fans, match day, outside the pub an hour before it starts.
Doesn't open until 12 o'clock. I don't know why he's Welsh.
Donnie, one of our producers, has sent us a picture from Volgograd. It's one of the supermarkets in sadly, you know, when England are in town, because they're not selling any alcohol, which is a great shame. I mean, I would back some of our lot to behave themselves. There's a few that don't, sadly, but they can't get a drink in Volgograd, which is sad.
No, it is sad, but, you know, I think it's understandable. And this morning, of course, we've moved hotels now, which is actually good for me, because in our last hotel, you two got upgraded to suites. Mm. Well, I had just the ordinary room.
It was great. I kept saying to John, if you've got an espresso machine in yours. And he said, oh, yeah. And I said, it's the little things. I've got a lovely infinity pool that looks over the Moscow River. And Andy said, have you? Have I? For goodness sake.
Yes. My first impressions, though, of St. Petersburg are not as good as Moscow. I didn't make that.
Only because it was a 10-minute walk to the hotel from the station with your case. You can't write off a city.
I did think so, but there is a strange smell here, in the sort of sewage-like smell, which may have something to do with the canals.
I've not noticed
canals.
That. Have you changed your underpants since you've been here?
Maybe it was just
me. You want to look a bit closer at home, mate.
And and we had breakfast this morning. That was good.
Well, I think most people do. Breaking news. Fantastic.
And we had a program idea for Quinton Wilson. Russia's worst breakfast.
I think by the end of it, it's getting better. They do
terrible.
Good porridge.
Porridge was
we've
right.
been quite taken with the porridge. They've got some very odd labels in the hotel. The sign on the porridge, it says oatmeal on the water. And we all went fire in the sky. It's great. Ian Gillan, he's a regular at the hotel. And the other thing they've got, I tried it. It's banana fritters, but they call it slip the banana, which sounds like a euphemism.
It's always a good thing to avoid.
I think it is. You popped out of the side. It's one of those, isn't it?
You did talk to us about the dangers of double toasting. They've got one of those.
Oh well.
Toaster things that goes round and round and round.
And Andy put your toast in, and it didn't even touch. I mean, it never even touched it. It was the bread came out slightly warmer than it went in.
It's still bread.
But I told you of a situation I had I think it was in Spain somewhere, where I did exactly that. I double toasted. I went through the machine again. They tell you never to do it because the first one came through like yours did. No discernible difference, just slightly warmer. The second one came out like bonanza. And the guy wasn't happy with me. He said, don't put it through twice. But I tried to explain, but it came out black and on fire. Well, how can you do one round like that and then the second... It an inferno. But anyway, maybe that's something we'll dwell on tomorrow after we reflect on England's victory. So, when we realised we were moving from Moscow to St. Petersburg... Yeah. Rather than getting the plane or the fast train, we quite like the idea of getting an overnight sleeper train, didn't we?
Well, we heard it's called the party train. This we're yet to find out.
But so we're on our way now. We just got in the cab. He was playing the Russian version of The Laughing Policeman as we got in. I think he's an ex-copper, the way he's driving. Pursuit driver. And none of the seatbelts. All being well, we will get on the train at some point.
That's the theory, anyway.
I've promised to keep you awake when I tell you ghost stories. I ran the story past one of our exec producers, Catherine. It frightened the life out of
me. Did it really?
And it's true, honestly. Yeah, it really freaked her out.
Well, I didn't sleep at all last night, so
okay, well, that'll
really help.
So that's all to come.
see if we can get you a bag of plain crisps.
That's the most
pop
important
up to the buffet. And so anyway,
have you got a weather report for along the journey?
No, I can't. I can't tell you any of that stuff. Okay. Anyway, here we go. Well, we've walked halfway to St. Petersburg, getting finding our carriage at the complete other end of the train.
Yeah, we nearly died in the taxi as well on the way.
And we seem to be walking past lots of people who had like a little lounge area and a bed area.
I know, I don't know what's
but
going
what
on.
But what we've
here.
Got is a lounge cum bed area.
Well, we haven't got any bedding.
Basically, we've got a couple of pillows and we're going to sleep on the seats, aren't we? Really?
We have got fruit, though.
Yeah,
we can't have got, argue with
got,
that.
We've got fruit, a couple of dry rolls, and some water. honestly, it's first class. It's first class all the way. We're looking at our executive booking officer now.
I don't think there's no danger of Hercule Poirot turning up, is it? To be honest.
It's exactly yeah.
The I mean, spread. There we go.
There we are. I'll attempt to stretch it. I might have to put my feet out the window.
Are these all pillows, or are they actually is there any duvet? Yeah.
What's in that? I don't know. Is that sort of emergency?
Could be a sheet.
Can we open what's in there? Tell me what's in there.
Oh, it's
nice. Oh, it's nice. It's washed. What's that? It's a pair of slippers.
You don't need slippers.
You don't need sheets, John. You have to sleep in your clothes, you tart. Okay, that's it. Are you still recording?
Yeah, more later.
Yeah, more later. Quick update. So the executive producer, head of football, because he, you know, in management, they spot things like this. He spotted a lever around the side of the bench seat.
Yeah.
We pull it down to reveal a very nice bed. I mean, it looks firm, I'll be honest.
Yeah, but it's like George Clark's Amazing Spaces.
Yes.
Yeah. You press another lever and a bowling alley comes out.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
And we've got an Olympic-sized swimming pool in here as well. And in the morning, we get breakfast. But I'll talk you through the breakfast menu later. I think Andy's going to have buckwheat with mushrooms. I think we'll see that coming back. Anyway, yeah, so here we are. We're off. And we're not off. No, but the aircon don't work. But anyway, apart from that, we got fruit, we got dry rolls, we got chocolate, boys. Look, we've got a bar of chocolate each.
Yeah,
and bottles of water. And I take it the buffet's about 4 miles away. It's the longest train I've ever seen.
For more.
Yeah.
Got the vodka. It's actually rather good.
We bought the half bottle. We didn't get silly, did we?
No.
All things in moderation.
It wasn't exactly cheap.
No, it wasn't. No, we didn't. We're not spending.
More expensive than the ticket.
Was, yeah. So we're not spending silly money. Obviously, you know, we consider that.
And we did turn down the caviar.
We did, which I thought was good of us.
Yeah, so we're not made of money.
Yeah. Big Alan wouldn't have done.
He'd have had a whole container.
He would have had a whole sturgeon plopped in his carriage. Here we go then.
I'm still having it. I'm climbing. He broke the glass. Oh,
God.
Hey! Hello.
Oh, baby.
That's quite
nice, yeah. It's good. Anyway, we'll come back to you when we finish the bottle. Right, now, obviously we needed to ask a few questions when we got on the train, and we were after a drink, really, basically, let's be honest. Saturday night, and we're off duty.
That's not Sunday morning, well, soak.
So I put it into the translator, is there a bar where we can buy alcohol? Not a lot, but a few drinks. I didn't want them to think we were Alan.
Yeah. Alan's banned from this train. Even though he's never been here. Have his picture on every phone. Not allowed. But yeah, you didn't want to come across as a trouble, did you?
No,
English
didn't
football
really.
Hooligan, because you look your type.
I do, really. Now, the thing is, we've had a little bit of the vodka. They also brought some apple juice and some orange juice. For a screwdriver, as you said, John, there, but I'm not sure you put apple while I wasn't looking
you
in mine.
Very neat, don't you?
Well, I did.
When we look back on this moment, when Andy's sleeping on a park bench, we'll look back on this moment when he stopped turning up for work and grew a beard. Oh, hang on. Yeah. Okay, so screwdrivers it is. So, yeah, chocolate has been broken.
But cheers, anyway.
So, half bottle of vodka is now about
a little bit of beer.
About an eighth
of a bottle of vodka. And we've tried it with apple juice, we've tried it with orange juice. Andy's been saying that I prefer my meat.
It's quite strong.
This is not a good sign, is it, really? It's not really a good sign.
Yeah, like you said, this could be the beginning of the end for me.
I think it could be. I mean, you're fairly bonkers when you're sober, so, I mean, what's he going to be like? Andy, I don't know if I've ever, in all the years that I've known you, I don't know if I've ever really seen you drunk.
I'm a man who controls himself.
Really?
Except for my temper and everything else. And
I'm not sure we can do anything with this, but it's like a guy's rambling, really. They've laid on quite a spread here in the carriage.
That's one way of putting it.
You've got a bar of chocolate.
Yeah, it's not bad, actually. Not quite as good as my chocolate.
It's a special limited edition railway chocolate with a pitch on a train on it. It's quite nice. And there are four rolls.
Yeah.
There's no butter.
Spongy.
Jam or... Anyway, basically, it's just four rolls, four dry rolls.
I like a dry roll, mate.
I can't think at which point overnight, maybe about 3 or 4 in the morning when I wake up... About 3 or 4 vodkas.
I bet you go for one.
What I really fancy now is a nice dry roll. At what point do you get the munchies that bad?
And of course, we have got the plate of fruit. Yeah, the apple, as John noted,
it's quite brown. It's
fairly brown, really.
Yeah, there's 3 grapes, 4 slices of orange, and about 6 slices of brown apple. So, and it's under cellophane wrapping. It's, I was going to go in, but I've been put off. I've been put off by the sight of it, first off. So,
Well, once again,
as a big...
Oh, yeah.
Staff are lovely, aren't they?
The guy
who came round, who's sort of waiting on, lovely fella.
Tremendous,
The lady who was at the front of the carriage showing us in, a lovely lady.
She was very nice, and I used the translator, as I mentioned earlier, and she seemed to... She got quite into actually speaking into it and sort of telling us that we've got porridge in the morning at 7:30. I can't hardly wait.
The people, actually, are really solid, aren't they? I've been most impressed, really.
Entertain us and while away the hours as we travel through the Russian night.
Yeah, you've chosen some odd things to play us.
I've got some old John Arlott, that's marvellous, and Henry Cooper doing Billy Goat's Gruff.
Yeah, do you want to play a little bit of that to the boys and girls?
Yeah,
just to give us a flavour of what we've just had, sort of a whole 10
press
minutes.
Play. Press play.
Those who frightened across the bridge, but they long to eat some of that lovely green grass on the other side.
Yeah, that's right. The amateur grass is the amateur grass.
I can't imagine Anthony Joshua doing this. I can't imagine him getting a phone call from Eddie Hearn saying, yeah, Anthony, can you come in and do a reading of Billy Goat's Gruff? Because obviously that's the expectation when you're the world heavyweight champion.
It does seem slightly unlikely.
Yeah, but our producer, John, has just said, you don't realise we're going across rural Russia listening to Henry Cooper reading the Billy Goat's Gruff.
I did play a bit of John Arlott from his wonderful thing.
That makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Very much in keeping with what's
going
on.
Into cricket.
So I did promise you that I would tell Annie a ghost story, and I've got one for you. As far as I know, this is true. This comes from a very reliable source, a person who's not a fantasist, and it was somebody my mum knew. It was her son, and he worked for what they used to call in the old days the gas board, which of course changed. And he just put a kind of torch under my chin to accentuate the nature of the story.
Yeah.
So, working for the gas board, they were called out to do a service on a boiler, and they knocked on the door of a house and couldn't get an answer. And suddenly, from the top window in the house, an old lady said, "They're not here, they're at the funeral." And they said, "Okay, no problem, love. We'll make another appointment." And sure enough, they went back and they called again and made another appointment. And when
went back about 3 weeks later. And they said, "Well, sorry we missed you the other week, but we understand you were at the funeral." And the couple whose house it was said, "Well, how do you know that?" They said, "Well, the old lady upstairs shouted down to us." And the couple looked at each other and said, "That's who we were burying."
It's quite spooky, I have to say.
All right.
Yeah, what was her
You're
name?
Not going to sleep now.
No, not really.
You're not going to sleep.
Not really.
I don't know. What do you mean, what was her name?
I don't actually.
It's not the way ghost stories end.
I didn't know it, so I couldn't care less, basically. don't mean to be heartless.
But explain that, Andy. Explain that now.
Well, presumably the ghost of the woman was at the window.
Well, that's not an explanation. presumably tell me what happened. Presumably the ghost of the woman was at the window. She shouted down. Is that a rational explanation?
Well, you know, if you believe in poltergeists.
It's not a poltergeist.
Ian Poltergeist.
Manin. Welcome back to the train after, I'd say, a broken night's kip. I mean, we sort of get heads down about 2:30, didn't we? Light weights. And then it's now, woke up about 7:15. Obviously, you're on a train, so as other trains go past, it does tend to wake you up with a start. And it's a touch bumpy, but, you know, got a bit of kip.
Yeah, also it tends to wake you up when the curtain rail collapses and the curtains end up.
I went to pull the curtains, but they're basically on it. They're on a bamboo pole, so I pulled them and I pulled them down. But I've got previous for that all over the world. It's very much a party piece of mine. Heavy head.
Bamboo pole.
You'll like that. As long as you don't finish the song, you'll like that. So breakfast. Yeah, breakfast arrived. It's a kind of vanilla filled croissant called 7 Days. Andy thinks that's how long it lasts in the packaging. Yep. A nice plain yoghurt, there's nothing wrong with that. That wasn't a bad experience, was it?
The thing about it is, it was billed as the party train, and I'd say apart from us, laugh, it wasn't really a party train.
There may be some sensational party going on at the other end of the train, but we couldn't have been bothered to... It's a very long train, it's about a mile long, as it felt like that anyway. It's a very long train, so I mean, if you're going to walk a mile, find out there's no party anywhere. It just seemed to be basically full of tourists, didn't it, really? So, what an experience. And I've never slept on a train before. You had, hadn't you?
Yeah, Scotland. This was relatively comfortable. We had very enjoyable.
Not too bad. Well done, everybody.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
It's Paul Hawksman, Andy Jacobs, live from St. Petersburg, England, starting their campaign tonight. We'll be building up to that a little bit later on. But joining us now, in the pub here in St. Petersburg. And man, we often turn to on Russian matters back home. It's lovely to meet him in the flesh from Russia today, Alexei Yaroshevsky. Alexei, good to see you.
Likewise. Thank you for inviting me.
And it was great that Russia made such a fantastic start. I mean, they're still the high scorers in the competition. And I'm sure that's given everybody a lift, because there was quite a lot of trepidation before that game that Russia were going to be quite bad in this tournament.
Oh, the criticism was heavy. Some of it was definitely justified, particularly because in the final friendly before the start of the World Cup against Turkey, the head coach decided to experiment again. We didn't see the best 11 that we were supposed to see. The press was all over them. They were saying, some were even going as far as saying this is the worst Russian team ever, that there's no chances of qualifying or even beating Saudi Arabia. But we saw 5-0. But let's be honest. I was at the game. I watched the game. I can't say that it was a high-quality game.
No.
It's just that Russians were a little more clinical.
And there are tougher tests to come, obviously. We're in the stadium tomorrow night for the game against Egypt. That's going to be tougher.
Yeah, but Egypt under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, they
now.
Are. They need to get a result. They're going to have to go for it, which will open things up for Russia, I think.
Russia get a draw, they're in a good position because...
goal difference as well.
Goal difference. And Salah, you know, there's still doubts about him. He didn't come on against Uruguay. I mean, I'm really looking forward to that tomorrow night. It should be a tremendous atmosphere.
Absolutely. That's why I'm here for. And... I just hope that the players managed to, alleviate that pressure. There was a lot of pressure on them ahead of the Saudi Arabia game because literally there was no chance to fail. Not only the whole nation on their back, both positively and negatively, supporting them and criticizing them. Again, it's the opener. It's the domestic World Cup. They did great. They got 5 goals in. Some particular individual player performances were very, very good. But tomorrow it's a different game, obviously. It's Egypt under a lot of pressure, with a number of players playing in really good tournaments, really good championships. El Ghazi in West Brom. Yes, relegated, but he's still a solid player. And obviously Mohamed Salah, one of the best players in the world at the moment.
Will he play, though, Alexei? I think we're all wondering. I mean, it was kind of too late to bring him. With 5 minutes, they could have given him 5 minutes, but they clearly thought there were bigger battles to fight. Sense you'll see him at some point tomorrow night.
If we just think for a second what kind of personality Mo Salah is. He is very bent on succeeding, on getting those goals. And national team to him is very important. So I don't think there's any chance that he will be on the bench.
Right.
I think he will be in the starting lineup. All over the news that he's been declared fit for that game. There were little doubts about the Uruguay game. And to be honest, we never expected him to show up at that game. But tomorrow, it's high-stakes game. Egypt has a lot to lose, obviously, and they will be pushing forward. And, you know, the only way I can see that this may go Russia's way is if there is some calamity on the side of Egypt, like a red card or an injury or anything like that. But other than that, I think, as much as optimistic as I can be, I think Egypt will have an easy game.
Really? Because, I mean, let's face it, that it really is the battle for second place, given you feel Uruguay will win the group now. So, you know, I'm surprised you say that. But
I was going to say about the mood in the cities. We don't know any different, really. We're only here in December, and again, there was a FIFA event. Are you sensing, does it feel a little bit different in St. Petersburg and Moscow, where you're from at the moment?
You mean atmosphere-wise?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. The vibe is a little... different. I mean, St. Petersburg is the kind of city where you would always go in the summer and you would always see hordes of tourists and people. It's pretty much the same way, but you can sense that football is here. So people are walking in scarves and jerseys, and that's obviously great. The plane that I took this morning was full of Egypt fans, you know, their colorful Egypt hats. So definitely an atmosphere to remember. But the big question, of course, is whether the supporters of the Russian national team will show up in numbers tomorrow, and more importantly, whether they will be cheering on the team in the stadium, because frankly I was a little disappointed at Luzhniki at the opening game. It didn't sound like anything I witnessed over the past couple of days. Argentina-Iceland, tremendous atmosphere. Mexico-Germany yesterday, my God, that's
but
the
you
loudest
can't
I've heard.
South American football fans are the loudest, the most passionate. They put everybody to shame in that sense, so you're never going to match them. What's interesting, though, you mentioned the pressure that Russia are under, but every big team, Brazil, Germany, Argentina, all under massive pressure and really didn't perform, you know. So
not to their standards.
Not to their standards. And, of course, England, we always put our team under pressure. I think this is you know, you tend to think your own team is the only team that has massive expectations. But these other teams, I mean, playing for Brazil is not easy. It's a massive country and they all want to win.
Neymar showed that a bit last night. He was trying to do it on his own at times, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, I mean, just to add up to your point, I think every team in this tournament, in any World Cup, is automatically under pressure because they always have people behind their backs and, you know, they're always urging them forward. In the case of Russia, it's obviously next level because it's domestic World Cup. And maybe, to a certain extent, the fact that they won the first game 5-0 adds even more pressure on them. I've heard a lot of notions coming from friends and experts alike that don't be fooled, guys. Okay, Russia won 5-0. It was still a relatively low-quality game in terms of actual footballing quality. And the biggest test right now is Egypt. If Russia has to get anything from that game, that's where we can actually celebrate.
Yeah.
But let's not be fooled by the 5-0. That's the notion.
Yeah. No, but I tell you what is also nice being around is that every bar and restaurant have the games on in a TV, don't they?
Yeah.
So wherever you go, it's there. It feels like a World Cup, which you must be pleased with too.
Oh, absolutely. The 3 days running into the World Cup before the opener, Moscow flooded with fans from all over the world. I sat at the Red Square, and you can see a pocket of Iranian fans, a pocket of Argentinians, Peruvians. Mm. It's a massive party atmosphere, and everyone is saying that we haven't experienced anything like that, and the big question whether we will experience something like that again. So despite some Moscovites, and I'm sure there are people like that in St. Petersburg as well, who would be grumpy about the traffic jams and you know, the flow of people.
Of course.
The overall notion, the overall sentiment is that guys enjoy the moment. This is the month of happiness. This is the month of jubilation in the streets.
Now, tonight, I think all eyes will be on Volgograd and the England-Tunisia game. Sadly, off the pitch, because we had the incident in Marseille, and an awful lot of the build-up, as you'll know, Alexei, before this tournament, was about the threat of violence towards England fans and an ambush sort of thing we saw in the Euros. You sense at the moment, although we're not in that city, that that's not going to happen. What's your feeling?
I'm absolutely convinced that this is not going to happen. Not only because of continuous collaboration between the police and the special forces of both countries, studying the tactics of hooligans. I mean, obviously there are hooligans in Russia. Mm. Obviously there are hooligans in England.
Sure.
The incident in Marseille, to my mind, and I spend a lot of time researching and investigating that on closed-off Russian hooligan forums, reading what the people were telling about how things went down. I would say a lot of what happened in Marseille happened because the police in Marseille let that happen. This will not be the case in Russia. If just any minor evidence of a trouble is seen by the police, it will be immediately stopped. And frankly, I'm really happy to see a lot of comments on Twitter from traveling English fans saying that we had been told by this and that, by BBC or anywhere else, not to go and there's going to be violence. But we're seeing friendly city.
Mm, yeah.
Let's wait and see whether that's the case.
I hope so.
There's three games at least for England. That's Nizhny Novgorod and Kaliningrad. I mean, both cities are very well equipped to handle big numbers of fans. And we'll see whether everything will be peaceful. But I hope it is.
And we've seen two standout games really were Germany-Mexico yesterday, which was fantastic. And also the Portugal-Spain, which was very high quality with lots of goals. That's been the pick. We just hope we can get more and more games like that.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Everyone has been saying that this is probably the best World Cup in ages so far, and it's only, what, fourth day?
Yeah.
The Portugal game in Sochi was tremendous. And I went to the Mexico game yesterday. Mm. Not even the game itself. It was beautiful. I mean, it was very high tempo, very, very intense. But the atmosphere inside and around, Mexicans were outnumbering the Germans, I think, 3-1.
Wow.
A lot of Mexicans still searching for a ticket outside. 79,000 crowd in the stadium. And, you know, you just feel it's a big, big festivity. And you almost want to support Mexico in that case.
Yeah.
Because you know that if they lose, it's not going to be a party. But they won. And I've seen pictures from last night in central Moscow. Big party.
Yeah.
We were right behind Mexico.
They were surprised. We're going to hear from some Mexican fans who are in the stadium last night and hear what went on at the final whistle as well. Alexei, lovely to meet you. Thank you very much for joining us. And we will catch up with you soon. Enjoy the rest of the World Cup. Hopefully, we'll speak before the end of the World Cup.
Thank you. Likewise, it's been a pleasure.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Yeah, now, I hope you like the train journey feature. Basically, H&J get hammered in Russia. Well, I thought the vodka made me sound like Steve Hartley.
You did get incredibly giggly, Andy, which was quite funny, I think.
We've noticed over here, though, that all the Russian commentators sound a bit like Motti. And,
well, One of them does.
They all do. David, our executive producer, said, "Do they all wear bearskin coats?" Which I thought was quite a good observation.
We've had we were talking earlier on about Andy at breakfast today, trying to run it, doing the second pass with the toast machine. We've all seen these in hotels,
yeah,
and they don't quite work. But you're told not to go in again. It's quite dangerous to go in again, and they tell you not to for a reason. I set light to a load of toast, as I said earlier on, once back over in Spain. But you did go in again, Andy, and put it through, and it didn't make any difference.
No.
John's been in touch. John Oliver, not that one. Yeah. He says, I hope you don't mind me sharing my hotel toaster story. Got up early and was no one at the toaster in a hotel. Had a great idea of putting cheese on the toast. As, of course, it got carried along the carousel, the cheese heated up, splattered all over the toasting machine, and I did a runner.
Of course, because it's on a sort of...
On a loop, yeah.
On a loop, so of course...
So then it would have turned, it just would have laid in the crumbs. You didn't think it through, John. Sat at the table, watching staff chip burnt cheese off a toaster, swearing at each other. Then they put up a sign in 10 languages saying, never put cheese on toast. Well, not on that machine, anyway. John, thank you very much.
Talking of cheese, actually, one of the strangest sights we've had here was we met a man with a plastic cheese hat and cheese tie.
A cheese tie.
I mean, actually, imagine a trilby made of plastic cheese and a
tie. I know it's not easy.
That's not easy.
It was a top hat. It wasn't a trilby.
No, was it a top hat?
It was a cheese top hat.
It was a cheese top hat. Yeah. Okay. Does Martin Ellis Jones know about this cheesy top hat?
But then you went up to him because you thought he looks like a self-styled comedy character. He'll want to have his photo taken. Yeah. I'll tweet that out.
And he just, I spooked him. And he just basically said,
No.
Well, yes, well done. I could have been there. He was back there with
him. It was like Jim Brakes, wasn't he? Oh, no. He ran off, though, didn't he?
But he still found time, as he ran away, to give me his promotional leaflet for, unsurprisingly, cheese.
He sells cheese in the street. It's an interesting line of work, but he almost doesn't want you to know it.
No. And I've got a photo of him. We'll put it on TSHNJ in case. Well, I've got a photo of him running away from me, basically.
Yeah, you
You can't see his tie.
At least we'll establish whether it was a cheese top hat or a cheese trilby.
Very good point. And John, our producer, at one point got anointed by a pigeon, which we thought was...
Oh, that was... Well, I mean, it does... Yeah, he was... he was defecated on. He was guanoed. In Moscow just before he left. And he was wearing a pristine white T-shirt as well. It was his Fantasy Island look on the day.
That's quite nice.
But it does mean talk... This is great news for Charlie Baker and Jim Proudfoot and all the Torquay fans, because it's supposed to be good luck, isn't it? We were told by the Mexican fans it's seen in Mexico as good luck. So, Torquay straight back up into the conference, John. It may be the best thing you've ever done for your club. It could be.
We decided.
Champions League. Don't get carried away.
Well, no.
Basically, you'd have to, it'd be like the Birds, mate. You'd sit under. You'd have to sit in Trafalgar Square for 6 months from getting to the Champions League.
But the Torquay have played quite a big part in the holiday so far. And
it's not a holiday, Andy. You're working.
Well, we are working, but it's fun. And we were watching Iceland, and we decided that Torquay need to adopt their tactics. Because that
big
way,
bombing, long throws into the box, very direct.
Very, very solid. Yeah. You know, two banks of five, if that's possible.
Yeah. two banks of five.
Oh, dreadful.
You didn't like Iceland,
they
did
really
you?
Are.
Actually, do you want to reflect on that game? Because look, if we can't get to the stadiums, we'll be in some of the stadiums. And of course, we're not in the cities. That makes it quite difficult. So we try and make it a relevant place to watch the game. So if Argentina, Iceland, couldn't find any Icelandic restaurants in Moscow, try as we might, but we did find an Argentinian steakhouse, which was full of Argentinian fans. And this is how it all unfolded on Saturday afternoon in Moscow. So it's Argentina-Iceland, Saturday afternoon, and we're not in the stadium, but we've got the next best thing. We're in an Argentinian steakhouse with big screen. It's fair, even to the point where I went to the loo just now, and the toilet is light blue, black and white.
I'm not on the inside.
No, the seat and the top of the cistern, light blue. So everything's in Argentinian colours. They've probably gone for it.
That's very nice, isn't it? We just had a lovely steak lunch. It was very good.
It was good.
Bit of an unnecessary hot plate that we didn't really know what it was for, but it boiled us up. But we are ready. There's quite a crowd here. I think we're still about 25 minutes away from kickoff. Plenty of screens, and we're hoping for a really great atmosphere here at the Navarro restaurant.
Stadium. It's quite a partisan crowd. There's not many Icelandic fans in anyway.
Not really surprising, is it? Really? They're more of the Reykjavik steakhouse down the road.
We'll see what happens. So So we nearly had a riot here in the Argentinian restaurant when the gaffer of the pub put on a repeat of Portugal versus Spain by mistake.
We saw Ronaldo in the tunnel and we suddenly realised, where's the game? And suddenly the crowd went mad. But fortunately, he's restored the pitcher, so we're ready to go.
We are, yeah, and atmosphere hotting up nicely of all these Argentinian fans in here.
Sherrano, and now from long range, Rojo, Aguero will be able to pick up. Been shooting the goal, it's a brilliant finish. Sergio Aguero gives Argentina the lead.
Well, there we are. Sergio Aguero 1-0. Quite a good atmosphere in here.
Oh, it's great. The place exploded. There's no Icelandic fans in here at all.
No, there are none. No, it's an look. It's an Argent. You wouldn't come an Argentinian steakhouse to watch Iceland, would you?
Really? Not really. No.
But what a cracking goal! Yeah, it's been a really good start of the game. Very enjoyable start of the game, isn't it?
Yeah, as long as Iceland can keep 11 people on the pitch, a bit physical, aren't they?
They are. But you also think they've had a couple of half chances, and you look at Argentina's defence, and you think a decent side would get them.
Definitely.
Here we are, 1-0 Argentina.
Gilfie Sigurdsson, low ball in, and it put into the net by Finn Morrison. They're back on level terms. Iceland have equalised.
It's all the equaliser quiet in here, I tell you.
It certainly has. The old stakes turned a little bit. But again, as we were just saying, Argentina looked just so ropey at the back. They looked wide open at the back.
Well, Caballero, you know, he's not an international keeper. He just isn't. You know, so made a mistake in the lead up there. And yeah, it's all gone a bit quiet, but it's early days yet.
It is, yeah. 1-1. They're living a bit of a charm life, aren't they, Argentina? Argentina, sorry about that. Okay.
Well, yes, but the main exciting news here at halftime is we're about to order the dulce de leche pancakes.
That's the breaking news, yeah, yeah. But they look a bit sus at the back, don't they, Argentina? You kind of worry about them as the competition goes on.
Well, not many people will be worried about home in England, let's be honest.
No, we probably. I say worried. Within the context of being in a room full of Argentinians, I'm slightly worried on their behalf, but... Once I've left this place, I won't care.
Back for Messi. Messi lofted left-footed ball inside the penalty area. Was there a shot by Magnussen? Yes, there was. Penalty to Argentina.
No. I think this place is ready to explode, so hopefully we'll...
Except when he's playing his shot.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully we'll get this moment for... Here we go.
That familiar left-footed approach, and it is saved by the diving Haraldsson.
They are bucked him. It was Caballero in goal as well. Oh no, I'm only kidding.
Oh well, still 1-1.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Interesting stuff. Good stop by the keeper. Making it hard for themselves, Argentina.
Yeah, terrible penalty.
It wasn't great. Don't keep your distance.
So there we are, miserable Argentinian fans all sitting there crestfallen at the end of the game.
Yes, what a
And you show. May have heard Tinsel the Turkey there after the penalty. He sort of honked. He does a good goose impression
well,
when he's had
that on his
beers.
Coupon.
Yeah, I think he did. Well, he's coming up later.
Yeah, we'll hear from
him.
He's
got a scouting report on Tunisia, and it's, you know, it's in depth. So that's all to come. Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs, live from St. Petersburg, ahead of England's first game. Now, it's great fun being out here, of course, but you do realise you're kind of missing the view of what's going on back home, getting a feel for the zeitgeist. Yeah. Can I use that word, zeitgeist?
The zeitgeist, and so much of social media centres on how it's being covered.
Yeah.
And, of course, we don't get to see that, so we thought we needed a correspondent.
We did need
home.
Someone who could keep an eye on things back home,
and
hold up
better?
Our end.
Who better?
Who better? Well, there are several people, but none of them were available at this time of day. I could list them now. I think that would be unfair. Yeah. But thankfully, it's always good to hear from ball runner, comedy store player, Farnborough fan, cheese chaser, yeah. England fan, mascot for the Iranian football team. He was in Brazil. He's not been able to make it to Russia, of course. It's Andy Smart. Good afternoon, Andy.
Afternoon.
So, maybe we should start with your adopted nation, because you and Nick Hancock many years ago made a fine documentary with Iran. And in Brazil, many of the players remembered you and you caught up with them and the management team. So, what did you make of the first game? You must have been very pleased.
I was very pleased, although I had back 0-0. And
so not that pleased.
You won't be invited back then, will you?
No, but during that World Cup in France was fantastic. I mean, and it was a real sort of... a holiday affair with the fans from Iran, but we were there for the Tunisia game, and I went to the Tunisia game with Nick Hancock, Caroline Quentin, and Maria McCurlane. Right. So there you go. That was
Caroline does like a free holiday on ITV.
Didn't she make? She didn't make that around. That they would have definitely snapped that up, wouldn't they? So what is the mood, Andy? You're testing the mood of the people in the streets there in London ahead of the game. You feel a sense of confidence before England play or not?
Yeah. I think everyone just wants to get that first match done and over with, don't they? Really? It's. I haven't missed a minute of it so far. I've watched every game, and it's. It's sort of. It feels like it's leading up to this England game. It's perfect.
What's been the worst, Andy? Which one did you start suddenly looking at Twitter? Has there been one game?
The Nigeria game, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't a stunner, was it?
No,
we watched that one.
But then Croatia have got a really good chance now. It's with so many big teams not getting the results, it's really opening up. It could be a really open World Cup this time.
Paul mentioned Twitter there, and we've noticed that what I call the perils of in-game tweeting. This thing where people go, Guillaume Balague is a real fine judge of football. He's a great bloke. But like yesterday, after about 10 minutes of the Brazilian game, he went, well, there's no question Brazil are going to win the World Cup. Well, hang on a minute.
Well, he may still well be right. Yeah. I mean, the Moose was even tweeting, saying, Germany definitely going to score. They always do. And we know, obviously, the sentiment was there. But for once, he was wrong. So there's always a bit of a danger, getting a bit carried away, isn't there, on social media when the game's still on.
We did feel that Peru were great to watch. I'm sure you agree, Andy.
Yeah.
They had several diving header opportunities, and we know if Ron Davis had been playing for Peru, they would have won 3-1. It's a shame he's not Peruvian.
They weren't putting their face into danger, which I don't know why, but there was a couple of opportunities when they had the chance to make the difference and didn't. But I thought, they play some great football.
And you've got to feel for the lad who missed the penalty.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a terrible pen, wasn't it?
I'm sure really? Spencer Day's looking to sign him for Farnborough.
Yeah, of course. Now, you've travelled all over the world with your comedy team and improv and all that. Have you been to Russia before?
No, I've never been. I've always wanted to go. I always wanted to do the Trans-Siberian Express and go right across into Siberia and down into Vladivostok. But it's a shame. Yeah,
it's a shame. I can't believe you're not here. Really.
I know.
Never done an OB, let alone even anywhere without you. It seems really strange.
It does seem very odd.
But funnily enough, there is a comedy club here in St. Petersburg. Yeah, I'm doing an improv set there tonight.
Oh, wow.
Because you know how good I am at that.
Yeah, he's done it with you.
We go. Do they know who Roy Hodgson is?
Do they know who?
Yeah. Well, imagine. Good evening, everybody. Very, very welcome. Yeah.
Doing his Roy Hodgson. And then who else do you do? Imagine you could do like... And that guy says... We have a top impressionist from London. Please welcome Andy Jacobs. And he comes on. Big room, about 1,000 people.
You know, very, very good to see you all. Mr. Kipling's pretty similar.
Yeah, it's just four impressions that all sound the same. And you get gonged off.
Hello and good afternoon.
Yeah, John Arlott.
And the crowd. Yeah, yeah. The John Arlott Appreciation Society here in Russia.
He was really big in Russia, yeah.
You'd have to do that. You'd have to think that the Aidan J. Harvey approach. We say, why, who's this who's just joined me in the room? Yeah. Why, it's John Arlott, the former cricket commentator.
Not likely, really. But
walking through the VIP section.
Who
of the
who did I happen upon? But Mr. Kipling, a man who never existed.
Oh dear. Talking of cakes, and we have noticed. Actually, I'm not sure if I should say. Well, should I or not?
No, self-censor. Just self. Let me tell me what you're going to say in the next 5 minutes, and I'll tell you not to say.
All right,
yeah. Okay. What else?
Have you heard?
Because you are lethal, mate. You are lethal in this environment.
We did spot a coffee.
You have the sensibilities of a man who grew up in the 60s.
That's very true.
So I'm always slightly worried when if you say. Well, I'm not sure I should say this.
Missed some of the memorandums that have come out.
Yeah, that one passed him by. Yeah. Can I see you for 5 minutes in my office, Andy?
Yeah. The coffee museum looks very interesting, which is fascinating because the coffee here is basically disgusting. that wasn't what I was going to say.
They've got the St. Petersburg Coffee Museum. Oh, the thing is, they often have short... We've noticed certainly more in Moscow, but they give you a menu... in a restaurant, and you pour over it for 10 minutes. You choose what you want. And they say no more.
let's get it back.
So
they tell you what you're having. Yeah.
They tell you what you're having. Although last night we went to this place, Tokyo City. This place is called
tremendous.
But we thought it just did a little bit of fancy, a little bit of sushi, something lighter. Yeah. We had enough burgers and chips. So it did every possible cuisine. Didn't it, Andy?
It's a bloke making coffee now.
Yeah, he is. He's going to make you a good one.
He's going to bring me a lovely cup
actually,
of coffee.
We'll have a couple of coffees, Dave, and I think we'll see if it's any good. You'll find a good one.
I'm going to be
here.
Forced to say this is the finest coffee I've ever had.
But anyway, yeah, this menu was it was a magazine. It was like a 64-page magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
So our producer had sushi followed by basically vegetable hot pot. No, honestly, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. It was very good. It was incredibly cheap and very
so
good.
Cheap.
And it was packed. So if you're in St. Petersburg, they got a little chain, little advert for the good people at Tokyo City. I don't think they were down to advertise officially on the station, but we do recommend it.
Yeah, they're one decent, of our World Cup partners.
Decent, cheap food.
Is that where, yes. Is that where all the coffee growers from St. Petersburg go then?
I think it could be.
Why have they got a coffee museum there?
Are we lined up? We're going to line up a couple of espressos for the boys then, and we'll see if this stuff's any good.
There is a museum that I think you'd be interested in, Andy. It's sort of the communist life under the communist regime.
I think it's got a snappier title.
Yeah, I think it is.
It's called the Soviet Life Museum. It's a kind of insight into what life was like. Back in the 60s and 70s, when Andy was a kid and he could say whatever he liked on the radio. So,
and we also, and I know you're one of these guys who'll eat anything, but we did decline some very strange-looking street food yesterday from a woman who was trying to push it.
I didn't say, what was it?
Shashlik.
That's a kebab, isn't it?
What was wrong with it, John? Oh, it looked like a sausage roll, apparently.
What it is in our local Indian restaurant. It's all veg and meat on skewers, but it clearly wasn't that.
We did feel it was the Prince from That's Life, his favourite snack.
It could be, that's true, yeah, Prince from That's Life. Yeah. I can't believe I'm doing that in St. Petersburg. I can't barely believe I do it in London.
And we did mention the Cockney entrepreneur who's made a fortune out here, Igor Blimey.
Yeah.
He's bringing Chaz and Dave over.
He's got quite a lot, yeah.
We've been translating Chaz and Dave songs into our translator and playing them.
They'd go down well in Russia. they could turn their...
What was more rabbit than Sainsbury's? Yeah, that one.
The producer will find more rabbit than Sainsbury's. Well, what Goethe is. Imagine Goethe in Russian is Goethe, isn't it?
I'd imagine it is.
Yeah, okay. Shall I just throw... Here we go.
Oh, yeah, it's Sainsbury's.
Why don't you get it off your chest? There we are. That would work. So Andy Smart is with us, ball runner, comedy store player. I was getting a bit of a feel for the mood back home. Well, that's nominally what this whole bit is about, but let's be honest. We haven't really...
Well, it was my birthday on Saturday, so I don't remember much about the film. Okay.
When we booked you.
I saw all four games, though.
You saw them with a hand over one eye.
What do you make of the TV coverage so far? Who's having a good World Cup back home?
Well, I'm terribly biased towards the BBC. The ITV studio and some of the pundits are really starting to annoy me, so I'm quite happy with the Beeb.
Okay, fair enough. Well, we'll let it go. Yeah. Listen to it on TalkSport if you've got any sense, Andy, if you want to come back next week. So,
the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, Tinsel, you want to know what the score is. You've heard from Steve Freeth, and he's given you the odds. But are they correct? Because only one... I was going to say one man. He's a turkey. Yeah. Tinsel the turkey. We use a predictive animal. They had a husky on the stage last night at FanFest, and they did the old two bowls of food. Anybody can do that with an animal.
That's rubbish.
But he's been watching quite a lot of games as Tinsel. Quite a lot of tactical stuff he brings
to the table. He's like Ted Knutson from Stats
Bomb. He is. He's like Stats Bomb. Let's get the latest on Tunisia then. Tinsel, good morning.
Sounds lively today.
Yeah,
doesn't
he also enjoyed the Mexico game, as he was just saying. He was really surprised just how open Germany were.
His voice is a bit higher than last week.
It is, yeah. You've been, I know that basically your brother, Crimble, is the real African football expert. We couldn't get him on, though, no?
Crimble.
Why was that? Somebody ate him last Christmas.
Oh, that's tragic.
Shame, isn't it? Anyway, on to Tunisia. It's a tough one today, isn't it? I mean, are they going to play with Kazri's a false nine, or Kanessi, you think, is the genuine centre forward, the out and out striker? Okay, well he thinks they're going to play with that kind of false nine role and be a bit more.
That never really works for me. That.
Yeah. The manager tends to use a kind of solid 4-3-2-1, three holding, two playmakers. Is that what you're expecting?
He is.
Well, yeah, I think he's
drawn
it
up on his tactics.
He said yes, clearly. So let's give us a score then, Tinsel. How are we seeing this one? Wow, 3-0 England. That's very bullish, isn't it?
Yeah, very optimistic.
Kane 2, Sterling 1. Well, yeah. Tinsel top man, enjoy the game wherever you're watching it. I know you are a FIFA observer, so you'll be watching it with all the blazers, but enjoy.
I'd see a turkey in a blazer.
Well, there we are. That was the this afternoon show. We're back from St. Petersburg once again, reflecting on England. Hopefully some good news, very positive vibes.
Yeah. And, I'm not sure Tinsel's right. 3-0's a bit optimistic.
Well, you know, he knows his stuff. He's put the work in, so we'll see. So until then, enjoy all the football. Keep it TalkSport and TalkSport 2 for all the games. And we will catch up with you tomorrow.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.